97.
I am finishing tonight this series about the importance of balance. Remember, the first thing we looked at was zeal and knowledge, and then last week, grace and truth. And now tonight we'll look at another common problem. And all of this comes from Hosea, if you remember that. As soon as I can find, here it is. Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8 says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. And I titled this series, Half-Baked Christians. And that's the problem that they had here in Israel, that Hosea is addressing, that the people were not living for God, and they were described by God through the prophet as a cake not turned. Now, the other problem that we're looking at tonight is that we need to love God and hate evil. Now, if you're in Psalm 97, look at verse 10. Psalm 97, verse 10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Billy Sunday used to say, you can't love flowers if you don't hate weeds. To love health, you must hate germs. To love God, you must hate sin. You see, the problem is we have too many Christians who want to love God but hold on to their sin. The old timers used to say they want to have one foot in church and one foot in the world. Can't do that. God's word very clearly says, you love God, hate sin. Now, hatred of sin, however, or love for God, can cause you to be half-baked. You see, if you only love God, but you don't hate sin, you don't have balance. And the reverse. Now, zeal in hating sin is good, but it must be with knowledge. Here's what I mean. A pastor preached a real strong message against adult bookstores. I mean, it was what we call a rip snorter. And one fellow got so stirred up, he went out after the service and burned down an X-rated bookstore. Yeah. You see, now that was with zeal, but not according to knowledge. I mean, we might say he was rather stupid, but he had zeal, didn't he? And John Rice wrote a book about the wickedness of Hollywood movies. And a man bought it, read it, and got so mad, he took an axe, went to the local theater, up into the projection room, and destroyed the projector and the film of the night. He ended up spending 2 years in jail. You see, zeal, but not according to knowledge. They hated sin, but the other part is we're to love God. And a love for God doesn't have us doing these kind of strange things. A common expression is hate sin, but love the sinner. Hate liquor, but love the drinker or the bar owner. And hate pornography, but we need to love the soul of the guy who sells it, as well as the person who buys it. And it's so easy because of our hatred of sin to have that line of distinction crowded and not clear. I've had people say, well, yeah, but Jesus, he ate with sinners. Yeah, but he didn't participate in their sin. He was there to speak righteousness and godliness to them. I've had people through the years ask me if it's okay to go into a bar to witness. And I've heard just a few times through my years, I've heard of people that have done that. But those testimonies are very few. And I would have to say that sort of thing is an exception. For surely there are other places where the person that you'd be going into the bar to witness to, that you could witness to them elsewhere. And indeed, the one case of where this happened, the fellow that did it was, his whole ministry was very exceptional and different. You know, people have idiosyncrasies. You may have heard me say already, well, that's another one of my idiosyncrasies. Here's how that word breaks down. Idio mean one's own or peculiar to one. Sin, S-Y-N, means together, and the crassy, C-R-A-S-Y, means to mix. And so what it is, it's the temperament or mental constitution peculiar to a person in how they live out those things that are peculiar to them. I went to a dictionary and got a definition from them, and it says characteristics, habits, and mannerisms peculiar to a person. Well, now you see, my idiosyncrasies are only considered idiosyncrasies if you don't do them. If you don't have a problem with the thing that is an idiosyncrasy in me, then, you know, it's weird. But if you have the same idiosyncrasy, now you're a fellow peculiar person. And you really think that I'm pretty normal. Now, isn't that a shame? I had a fellow come to me one time and said, you know, I'm a little worried. I said, what are you worried about? He says, I'm beginning to think a lot like you are, Pastor. I thought it was rather nice. People who come to an independent fundamental church like ours do so because they are serious about their Christian faith and their Christian living. And they have matters that are important to them. Matters that are addressed in a Bible-believing church. People who are just playing around religion, they don't come here. For example, most people, if they're going to send their children to Sunday school, okay, they'll send them somewhere else where the children won't be coming home with literature the parent doesn't want to read. Or they'll take, you know, if they themselves are going to go to church, they're going to go to a church where they don't get their life pointed out to them. You know, why is it we don't have more people just coming? We're here and we've been here for 200 years. And why don't people come in? Because they don't like being told that the way they're living is against the Word of God. And our pastor is as diplomatic as many a preacher. Definitely more diplomatic than many I know. And yet, the bottom line is, when you preach the book, it points out that the way people are thinking, let alone acting, that it just isn't right. And many folks know that. They just don't want to be told it. through the years, we had people that would come to church, visit 2, 3, maybe 4 times, and then you didn't see them anymore. Now I wonder why. What's wrong with us? We're nice people. You know? I mean, look at us. We're even fairly decent looking. And wonder why. And then you go in the home and you visit and you observe some of the things that's set around, you know, a Pabst clock, Pabst Blue Ribbon clock on the wall, and you see Masonic Lodge Bible laying on a table, and then you know you see some of the magazines that are there, and you can pretty soon realize they didn't want to give that stuff up, and they knew that the message that gets preached from the Bible, it would lead them into a life that they wouldn't or shouldn't continue those things. People aren't dumb. This is why it's so important that they can see Christ in us, and that what they know about us is appealing to them. Our honesty, our politeness, our friendliness, our helpfulness, our interest in them, okay? Their problems. A number of you know Randy Wilbur. Worked in the RU program. And Randy went back before he was on disability, worked at Zippo. I don't know how many co-workers at Zippo would come to him with prayer requests, because he was always coming to me and either personally asking me to pray or make a prayer request in prayer meeting. Why? Because people knew that he'd pray for them. He showed an interest in people. And so that's what we need to do. Let people know that we care. But listen, it's so easy to be a half-baked Christian needing the cake to be turned over. Now, we just came through Halloween. Now, listen, I don't decorate. We don't decorate with witches and ghosts. Okay? We'll do fall decorating, but we don't do the Halloween scene. Now, if you differ on that, I love you anyway, okay? But you're not going to become an Elijah because you don't give treats out to the kids on Halloween, okay? You're not going to get written into the book of Hebrews there in the Hall of Faith fame, okay, because of your stand on Halloween. And so it's okay. Like I said, we don't play Halloween. But I do love to see the kids and the smile on their face when they get to pick a piece of candy out. And then whatever, you know, come 8 o'clock in Olean, it's over. And they stop. And whatever's left in the bowl, woohoo! Okay? And so I like that part of Halloween. And then there's Christmas. Now, I really have ruined a number of children's Christmases because of some messages that I've preached on Ho 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 Guy. And so, I know some fine folks who they don't mind the Ho 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 Man, okay? And I'm not here tonight to argue that at all. Okay, but listen, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they didn't go into the fiery furnace because they did or didn't have a Christmas tree. Okay, and I've heard some rip snorter sermons on Christmas trees. Okay, now listen, here's the way I approach that sort of thing. You approach it, listen, I absolutely mean this, 100% I mean this. You approach it however you want to approach it. I'm still going to heaven. If you're saved, you're still going to heaven. Okay? Listen, I like a cup I saw. It was a big cup. If it had been a normal size cup, I would have bought it for myself. Okay? And what it had on it was, everybody has a right to my opinion. But it was too big a cup. It wouldn't have been useful. But we have what I call American traditions, like the Christmas tree, like Christmas carols, going Christmas caroling, okay? Other Christmas decorations, candles in the windows. I never got bent out of shape over buying, and definitely I don't get bent out of shape over getting Christmas gifts, okay? But some, I know some people, they feel that's a, all it is a commercialization of Christmas. They're absolutely against it, and they're not going to participate in it. And if that's the way they feel, fine. But we are not only to hate sin, we're to love God. And the thing that I've seen with so many of these kind of issues, like I've just dealt with two of them there, the thing that we've seen with so many of them is that the people are cake half baked, and they need to be turned over. They need to get a little bit of niceness, okay? Some people, and you see, I put all these clarifiers in so that I can't be accused of anything here is what the idea is. It's a liability disclaimer is what it is. But the idea is you can practice however you want, okay? You can do what you want in your home. Your home is your place. We just ask people to consider how they go about it as they interact within the family of God. And if we need to turn that cake over and use the other side a little bit, it's a good idea to do so. and so now I always felt that it's in order in a church, and whatever a church does, that it ought to be religious. That makes sense? So like come Christmas time, it just makes sense to me, and like Easter, okay, that it, we're going to be religious. And so at Easter, we're going to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you want to give candy out? I like chocolate. But make it a chocolate cross, okay? There's a good way to do it. And the same way at Christmas time, our Sunday school will be giving have the teachers, they'll be getting, and you'll be getting information on this, teachers, about getting Christmas gifts for your class members, you know. But there again, I encourage you, make them to be, they don't have to be religious, okay, but they don't have to promote the world and the world's view of Christmas. Enough said on that. Half-baked. Here's another one. I've been around some churches where you had to wear long sleeves. If you wore a short sleeve shirt, you were sinful. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's churches like that out there. I've been in churches where you had to wear a white shirt. I've been in some independent Baptist churches that it had to be a white shirt. If you wore a colored shirt, you were on the verge of backsliding.
Wow.
Yeah. I've heard sermons preached about white shirts, yeah. Of the whole thing in the book, look at all of this book, the Bible, look at it. And a guy wastes a congregation's time by preaching on white shirts? Good night. Get your priorities straight. And then I've been around churches where you couldn't wear jewelry. They didn't wear, you know, wear wedding rings, okay, and then how do you get your hair done, okay? Oh yeah. I'm not going there. You'd be drugged down to the altar. You see, we all have idiosyncrasies. We all have idiosyncrasies. But we must be careful that we don't become fanatics about any one thing. Politics. You know, the country we live in, we're citizens. We're interested in what's happening, and there's nothing wrong with us speaking about it. I never had a problem with things even being said, you know, from the pulpit regarding some of the issues that exist within our country at different times. But, you know, boy, you can sure go to seed on that sort of thing. And so many things. We need that balance. We need to love God and hate sin. And if we'll keep that matter of loving God in order, it's going to go a long way. We need to see the big picture of balance in our Christian living. So this common problem, love God, but hate sin. And while you're hating sin, make sure that you're demonstrating the love of God. Father in heaven, enable us to do this. And we'll be sure to thank you for what you'll do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.